tape going over here.
Forgot his name already.
Well, now today is November the 11th, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm down here in Brandon, Florida, talking with Troy and Lucy Lovelace. Right. And I'm Blant Noyn and Andrew Graham sitting across the way. Well, let's see. We were talking about, the first thing I asked you was, when you came, how long have you been down in Florida?
Well, I came to this part of the country in 1923.
Yeah.
From Bryson City, North Carolina. That's where I was born. And I lived in that country till I was 17 years old, and I left there and joined the Air Force and went to Virginia.
Yeah.
And I followed construction work for 48 years, and I was all from one state to the other. Just backwards and forwards, wherever the contractor got a job, that's where we went. But I never did let the fiddle down. I always carried my fiddle with me, and I played in just about every state in the South and some in the North, and I love this old folk music.
Yeah.
As a toothpaste ad says, that's the kind I grew up on.
Well, how did you get started playing fiddle anyway?
Well, I said before, my father was a fiddler, and he's a left-handed fiddler, and he didn't change the strings. He held the fiddle over here and bowed it this way, and the, where the E strings are up on top, they were down here on the bottom, the bass is up here, and he played it backwards, and he was a good fiddler, too. He wasn't no slouch. So that's how I learned, and I was so small, they first made me a fiddle out of a cigar box. And I began to pick on it and learn it, and he would show me, and I finally got up and I took his fiddle and laid it down on my lap this way. My arms were too short, I couldn't put them up here. As my arms grew longer, I kept moving the fiddle up. I didn't get it any further than my shoulder. That's as far as I got, and I left it there.
Yeah.
I like to play it there.
Yeah.
I love the old thing, and I've been playing it. I started when I was 5 years old, and I've been playing it ever since, and I'm 82.
82.
Will be in January.
What was your father's name?
Turner Lovelace. Turner Lovelace.
And how about your mother?
Well, her name was Cindy. Cindy Lovelace. She was an Ash before they were married.
So you were born, what's your birth date?
My birth date, January the 31st, 1902. That'd be 82, right. 31st of next January.
Right. Well, when you were growing up, when you were just a young boy, you know, and learning to play fiddle, who were some of the fiddle players that you listened to that you liked to hear and be around?
Well, the one that really taught me a whole lot about how to use the bow and really play the fiddle was a boy by the name of Jess Delosier. And we was about, well, he's older than I was. He was about 18 or 19, but he was a real good fiddler. And what my father didn't teach me, I picked it, a lot of it up from him. We played together a whole lot. And I played for, when I was about 7, I began to play for high schools, stuff like that. And they used to have box suppers back in those days, you know, and I'd play for that. Any social events, I'd always play. And by the time I was 12 years old, I was known to be the best fiddler there was in Western North Carolina.
I bet.
Against all of the old fiddlers. And I kept on, and all night 17, when I was teaching these Indian boys how to play the fiddle. And incidentally, Paul Childers, he went on and won the state championship. He was the best fiddler there was in that country at that time. Ham, I don't know what happened to him. Then there's another man by the name of Josh Patterson. He was a good fiddler. I learned a lot from him. And there's several of them in there that was good fiddlers. Pico Sneed, Mango. I don't know if Pico played the fiddle or not, but I know Mango did. And Hanley Gibbs is another good fiddler that I played with. And this man that you told me about, and I forgot his name, one that I played. I said he made the fiddle himself. I forgot his name.
Bill Hensley?
Bill Hensley. Hensley, that's right. He was a good fiddler.
And you say he made fiddles?
He made that one, he said, that we was playing on.
Well, I'll be.
And it was a good one, too.
Now, he had I think it was his uncle, but I'm not absolutely sure, a man named Mac Hensley. Did you ever know a Mac Hensley? He's supposed to be a fiddle player.
No, I don't think so. If I did, if I knew him, I didn't meet him. I never met him.
Well, tell him about playing on an Asheville station up there at one time. I wasn't with you, but you said you played.
Oh, yeah, back in 1920, early before TV ever got on the way, but there was a few we could get in Nashville, Tennessee, from Asheville, North Carolina. I was playing on a WWSM in Asheville, North Carolina, every Saturday night. I had a little 30-minute program on that station. And they learned of me from Nashville, Tennessee, about the same time Roy Acuff went down there. And I had an invitation to go down and try out, but it didn't go. That's where I dropped my money. I'd been worth $100,000 or $200,000 today, maybe millions. I know he is, Roy Acuff is, and I was just as good a fiddler as he was. And I didn't go down there. But later on, I was told by a man that helped establish that Grand Ole Opry up there that he saw me on TV. And I said, how in the world did that happen? He said, well, it was a snapshot. He said that got all of the old fiddlers together and put them on a board that way and run them through the TV screen. And that's just recently, about 3 or 4 years ago. He said, that's the way they got your picture. And you was actually on the TV screen.
Yeah.
So that's about the size of my fiddling. I don't know of anything else I can tell you.
Tell me a little about Dedrick Harris. You mentioned him.
Oh, Dedrick was a fine fiddler. He used to go around Bryson City on Saturday afternoon, get him a chair, and sit up there on the sidewalk and play. Now, he didn't have any guitar or a banjo with him. He just could make some of the sweetest music you ever heard. That's the way I got acquainted with him. I'd sit there and listen to him play and talk to him, and I was just a little old boy then, you know, and he's an old man. He's about as old as I am at that time. Maybe not quite so old. But he could make some of the sweetest music that you've ever listened to. I don't think anybody could ever play fiddle any better than he did. So that's about the size of that out in that country.
Did you pick up any of his tunes? I mean, specifically that you...
Well, he just played the regular old Cripple Creek and Cumberland Gap and Sourwood Mountain, what the people back there is raised on, you know.
Yeah.
that's about all I know. And, of course, I've added on a few. I've made a few tunes myself, made them up, and things like that during over a few years.
Now, when you was growing up and learning to play the fiddle, were there many banjo pickers that you'd play with? Did banjos and fiddles get together?
That's all we had was a banjo. Now, we did have the banjo and fiddle. Guitar, I never saw a guitar until 1921. It's the first time I ever saw a guitar.
Uh-huh.
I organized the band. We went down there to build some cotton mills in Gastonia, North Carolina. I organized a band there. But a fiddle and a banjo, and the man had a guitar. That's the first guitar I ever played with. Of course, up in Asheville now, that on the radio station, I had a girl, and the boy that picked the banjo with me was named Jeter Gentry, and his sister, Martha, she picked the guitar, and he picked the banjo. We had a banjo and a guitar on that program. Then in Thomasville, Georgia, we moved in there to build a Thomasville Archibald Hospital. Organized a band there. The boy's name was Ramsey Davis, and I can't never think of that boy that picked the banjo. But we played on a little old radio station there, Steve Luke's little old station. Probably didn't have enough power to get out of the city limits.
That's where he met.
I was going to say, is that where you met Lucy then?
Yeah, and then the way of things we enjoyed, we got to playing for these politicians, you know. And what we'd do, her father owned a flatbed truck. And we'd get that truck, and we'd put the band in the back of that truck, and we'd go to all these little towns, you know, and play for about 30 minutes. The town wasn't very far apart, Boston and Meigs and all them places up in there. And we'd play for these politicians for about 30 minutes in the town, then we'd move on to the next town, move on to the next town. And we got them elected.
Was Lucy playing then?
No, her niece up in West Virginia told her how to chord. She don't play, she just chords. We'll show you in a minute and put some on the tape for you. And
he was working on Orangeville Memorial Hospital when he met me. And my father owned a recreation place where they have a skating rink around a swimming pool. We had to play a piano there. And the first time he ever saw me was at this place. So I think he kind of liked my looks, so he kept coming back. But I was only 14 at the time, and my parents wouldn't let me date, and I wasn't out of high school. But he kept coming back as long as they worked on the hospital there in Thomasville. And we were married in 1927. Then, of course, we had all these children, so he didn't have time to play the fiddle. He had to work.
Yeah.
And after he retired, we would go to West Virginia to see my sister that lives there, and her husband plays the guitar. And they have three daughters that all play the piano beautifully, and they can also chord. So they started, Lynn started chording with them, and she says, Aunt Lucy, you can learn how to chord. I said, no way. I'll never be able to do that. I was all going on 60 at that time. And she taught me the chords. And we came back home, and I said, well, we'll try. And we recorded it, and some of it was terrible. It was awful because he doesn't know one note of music. And I did have a little music when I was a child, about 8 months. And I'd have to find A and see if that's where he was. And I wrote down all the chords on the book so that I could know, you know, when he changed about where he was going, you know. So that's how we did it. And since then, we do a little better than we did
when we were starting. Well, I'll be a roller rink.
Well, anything else you want to know?
Well,
we can tell you?
Well, since you've been in Florida, you've kept the music up.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't give it up for nothing.
Are there other people you have played music with down here from like up in Carolina or Tennessee or something? Have
no,
you ever had?
No.
We have a friend that's from South Carolina.
One boy that used to pick the guitar with us, he's from Winchester, West Virginia, of Winchester, Virginia. And another boy that lives here, one of those young men, Haskell Gray, he's from South Carolina. But they all live here in Florida, you see. But from anybody from up in that country, I never have run into any of the boys that picked a banjo or guitar or anything like that with me.
So you pretty much had to keep it alive, the music, just playing by yourself.
Then. Oh, I did. I carried that fiddle with me everywhere I went, up in Ohio, I was up in there, I carried my fiddle, I played it all the time.
They say, does Troy have his fiddle? And my brother-in-law says, is the Pope Catholic?
Yeah, I carried everywhere with me.
Well, so you've traveled all over the Southeast then.
Oh, yeah. I played in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. Oh, yeah, I used to go down to Knoxville, Tennessee, out of Asheville, and play for square dances down there. When I had my radio program up there in Asheville.
Was you working construction when you was playing the radio too?
No, I wasn't working. I wasn't working then. Well, I was working too, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't have a regular job or anything like that.
Well, let's see, what else did I want to ask?
Well, we play at nursing homes. people here, and then we get calls. We played over at the center place just about a week ago. They had a the junior women's club put on this well, sort of a fair like, and they, you know, they sold a lot of homemade things, and we played over there. And then we play at the schools. We're associated with the Tampa Arts Council.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl, Loretta, you may know her, Loretta Van Winkle.
I know of her.
Well, she comes and gets us and takes us to the schools to play. And this last, about a week ago, we played at Forest Hill School. And the teacher was so impressed. She said, "I do hope you will come back next year." And I said, "Well, Loretta has told me that they don't plan to continue this next year." So she said, "Well, I'll see if I can't get you on my own."
Good.
So, and the children loved it.
Yeah.
Because they pay us for doing that, you know.
Yeah, we'll probably be playing at the Strawberry Festival over here and at the World Fair down here in Tampa, too. We talked to a lady today that's looking for talent, and
yeah,
she said she'd like to have us on for this type of a program.
Well, are there any, like, you know, old-time Florida musicians that you've met since you've been in Florida?
No, I haven't.
What kind of music is there in this state as far as old-time music?
Huh?
What kind of music is there in this state as far as old-time music?
Well, I don't know.
There's probably some bands around, but, you know, we are old, and we don't really, a lot of them play bluegrass,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm trying to think of people, see, I'm trying to figure out what kind of music was played in this country before bluegrass was ever around. You know, like in Carolina.
Back when you learned. Oh,
you mean that? That's same old folk music. That's what they're playing in Florida.
Same old stuff?
Like, yeah, same old stuff that we play at White Springs. That's what they want us to play. They want to keep up the heritage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm interested in are, like, native-born Florida people that play music.
Well, I'll tell you right now, when I first went to White Springs in 1979, I was carrying around a fiddle around there in the plains. I didn't think there's any other fiddler on the whole hill. And I went out there at that camp, and I run into about 8 or 10 good fiddlers.
Yeah.
They're young boys.
Yeah.
And girls. There's one, I've got a tape there that a girl's playing the fiddle on it, and I'm telling you, she's good.
Yeah.
She's good.
He knows.
And,
is that Gail Rogers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's good. She and Dwight.
And Claire Davis. From Jacksonville, boy, they're good fiddlers. And Alec, what's her name? Electa?
Alexa Jaffers.
Alexa Jaffers. She's a good fiddler. Lord, there's a lot of them. And I was surprised. They kept me out there at 1 or 2 o'clock that morning. They never heard of anybody play a fiddle like I was playing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm playing the old style stuff.
Yeah.
They kind of do a little bit different than I do. But
they got a little different bow action.
Yeah, they have a different bow action than they tune their fiddles in A. all the time.
Mm-hmm. You don't retune much, though.
No.
Did you used to?
No.
Then
I've always
Dave Arbs, too. You know him? He has a shop in Gainesville where he makes fiddles and repairs fiddles.
Dave Forbes.
Repairs bows. He's a real good friend of Blythe's and Gail.
See, like tuning a fiddle.
Uh-huh.
I tune mine in standard.
Right.
You can walk up to any piano and I'm almost in tune with it.
Right.
Now, as far as A, I can do just as good with my fiddle tuned in standard and play an A as I can with it tuned in A.
Right.
See?
Because yeah.
I make the same notes that they do.
Right.
In A. But I always keep mine tuned standard key. Well, if that's all you want,
that's all I can think
if
of.
That's all you want, we'll play.
Ready?
Yeah. Thank you.
that?
That's Bandbox.
Bandbox, of course it is. Don't stop now.
All right, how about Sarah Gooden? Now, this is one at the Louvre in North Carolina. This is a square dance piece.
If you had to play one tune in all of the tunes that have ever been invented, what would you play?
I don't know. I like that old tune, Whistling Rufus.
All right.
It's got a little change in it. Thank you.
the one the children like at school so well. Buck and Mule.
Oh, Lord. There's one on there. I was looking on the list. Loving Henry. I've never heard of that tune.
You want to play it?
Yeah, would you play it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have a lot of requests for this tune over the White Springs, too. How'd that go? Trap a bow. That's one of mine. I made that note.
Did you?
Yeah. Kind of hated I did. I tried out more bowls of that thing.
Shoot.
The children all like that one.
That is a good
one. They also like the Orange Blossom Special.
You play that one too?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do a different version of it.
I bet.
Most of them just play the music. I'm off the train. You know about that thing? Orange Blossom Special? You know it originated here in Tampa?
Yeah.
It runs from here back in 1933. Well, it had a bell and it had a whistle and it runs on the track, so that's the way I'll do it.
All right.